We left off in the middle of the topic of Tumah Blua, Tara Blua. So just to review a little bit, on Ayin Aleph Amar Aleph, right after the Mishnah, so the Gemara quotes Rabbah. Rabbah is assuming that one din is more obvious than the other, but based on what apparently it appears in the Mishnah, it's the first din, so you can extend it to the second din. Kishem, just like A is given, so to B is also the same. Kishem Shetuma Blua, Eina Metama, means if a person has Dovah Tummy in his stomach, if you have something in your mouth, that's called Beis HaStorm. If you have something in your stomach, that's called Blua. Daf Ayin Aleph Amar Aleph in Chulin. So that apparently is given, that must be appear in a Mishnah somewhere. So it says, Kach Tara Blua, Eina Mitam. If you have a Dovah Tohar, that's Blua, it's not Mekabel Tumah. And how does he know that it's so obvious that Tumah Blua is not Metame? So then the Gemara says, in Tumah Blua in Olam, why is that so much more obvious? The Gemara says, yeah, that's based on a pasuk. That if a person swallows Nevela, it's in his stomach, so he touched the Nevela, it was Metame him b'maga, so he doesn't have to have Shiva Nikim, he doesn't have to wait 7 days, he goes to Mikvah the same day and has Harav Shemesh. If a person in his stomach, he's not permitted to eat Maaseh Sheni. But the minute he comes out of the mikveh, he can eat Maaseh Sheni even before Harav Shemesh. But in order to be permitted to eat Truma, you have to go to mikveh, and then you have to have Harav Shemesh. Wait till Tzeis HaKochavim, following the tefillah in the mikveh. So then you're permitted to eat Truma, but you still, not all the Temeim would be permitted after Harav Shemesh to eat Karbonis, but then to the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, Avon Mechusir Kapori, have Zav Zav Yoledes HaMetzorah, even after they went to the mikveh, after they waited till the Harav Shemesh to say Sakhavim following going to the mikveh, they still have to bring a set of korbanos to the Beis HaMikdash. So Kozman, they didn't bring the korbanos, the Tahara procedure is still incomplete. Benegir to what? Benegir to Truma, they had Harav Shemesh Alata, but benegir to eating Kotshim, and benegir to entering the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara quotes this pasuk to start off. Rabbi knows this is given. Tumah Blua is Kamisha Eino. How does he know? Because the pasuk says a person that touches the Vela becomes Tomei, and then if he swallows it, it's in his stomach. Oichel Nenevlosa has to go to the mikveh, has Harav Shemesh, and then he can eat Truma. I has he allowed to eat Truma, but he still has the Nevela in his stomach. So why isn't the Nevela Metame him? Bimasa, a sheretz, with the Shmana Shratzim, the Chomish lists off 8 rodents. So the 8 Shmana Shratzim are only metame bimago, they're not metame bimasa. But the Nivlas Behema, the Nivlas Chaya, is not only metame bimago, it's metame bimasa as well. Maga is if you touch it. And masa is if you're wearing gloves or it's wrapped up, let's say the meat in the AMP is all Nevela meat. So if you touch it with your own hand, that's maga. But if it's wrapped up, so there's no maga. But if you move it, that's masa. If you pick it up, then it's masa. So the Gemara is worried with the problem. This is how Rashi learns Poshim Shat. When the Nevela is in my stomach and I'm walking around with it, why isn't that masa?
The mouth is not Tumah Blua.
The mouth is Beis HaStorim. So if I have, let's say, a kezayis of Nevela in my mouth, it's not metame me b'maga. If I didn't touch it myself, someone else put it in on a fork into my mouth. So it's not metame me b'maga, because maga Beis HaStorim doesn't count. But the fact that it's in my mouth, that makes it Tumas Masa. But that's in the mouth. But if it's already in the stomach, then it's already balua, and that's kamisha eina. So it's not even metame b'masa. So the Gemara says, but that's the pasuk. The person has the ability to go to mikveh right away, and then he has Harav Shemesh, and the enzymes in the stomach didn't yet have a chance to cause the nevela that he swallowed to decompose, to become nifsal ma'achila. And still it says that he's allowed to eat truma. You're not worried about the fact that the truma will be mekabel duma from the nevela. You're not worried about the fact that the nevela is in my stomach, it's metame b'masav. So the answer must be that the tuma blu is kemisha eino. So that's what Rabbi says, just like that din is given, that's a posig in chumish, based on a posig in chumish. So too, tara blu is also not mekabel tuma. So the Gemara says, how do you have the right, how do you know to extend it? That the original pasuk only says that if you have tumah blua in the stomach, the tumah can't be transmitted to anyone else. How do you know that if you have tara blua, let's say a person swallows a ring and the ring is in the stomach, and then he goes to a funeral, so the person becomes tummy ohel, he's in the same room with the maize, but the ring inside the stomach is kemisha eino, it's not mekabel tumah. How do you know to extend from one to the other? Maybe tumah blua is the din. How do you know tara blua? The Gemara said, no, it's a kal v'chaymer, that it's a din of mukav, tzamid posel, it's a din of klicheres, not all the kelim are mekabel tumah. So wooden kelim are mekabel tumah, metal kelim are mekabel tumah, and kli cheres are mekabel tumah. Kli cheres is earthenware, China kelim are mekabel tumah. So kli cheres is only mekabel tumah from the inside, it's not mekabel tumah from the outside. So Gemara says, what if you have a dova tohor? So you have oichle mamashke mini kli cheres, and it's mukab tzamit pasul, it's closed on top. And there's a mace in the room. So the mace is matami everybody and everything in the room. Od mekelim, ochel mashk, matami everything. But it can't be matami de klicheris. We visualize as if the mace, the tumas hamace, is floating in the air all over. But even if you would have the mace touch the outside of the klicheris is not mekabel tum from the outside, only from the inside. And here the tumah can't fly inside because it's mukav tzomit pasul. It's sealed on top. So this institution of klicheris hamukav tzomit pasul, a pasik and chumish, only applies to protect Oichel Mamashkim Tahorim inside the Kli, that they shouldn't be Mekabel Tum. But if you have Gezais Men Ameis in a Kli Cheres, that's Mukav Tzom Apostle, it doesn't prevent the Tumah from going out. It only protects Dover Tahor from being Mekabel Tumah if it's Mukav Tzom Apostle. So the Gemara says, you see that it's easier to prevent Oichel Tahorim from being Mekabel Tumah than it is to prevent Tumah from transmitting. Because Mukav Tzomit Pasul only accomplishes to protect the Oichel Mamashkim that they shouldn't become Tomei. So, Haint, if you have a Pasuk that indicates to you that Tuma Blua is Kemisha Eino, Tuma Blua doesn't transmit the Tuma if the person swallowed the ring that's Tomei in his stomach, or he has the Kezais Men Anavela, Kezais Men Ameis in his stomach. It prevents the Tuma from going out. So, it certainly protects Oichel Mamashkim from being Mekabel Tuma. That was the Gemara's Kavu Chaim. So then the Gemara says, how do you know to make a Kavu Chaim, which is Macham Mashayim? So that we worked through last week. So then the Gemara was asking, alright, you have a Pasuk Ashkahan, you have a Pasuk about a person who touched Nevela and it made him tummy, then he swallows the Nevela, it's in his stomach. So that's by a human being, an Adam has Nevela in his stomach. So you showed me a Pasuk that seems to imply, indicates that it's balua in an adam. How do you know if an animal swallows a nevela? There's a Mishnah about a dog. A dog swallows a kazayis ben ameis. So since it's in the stomach of the dog, even though the enzymes didn't begin to cause the nevela, the mace adam to decompose, so the kazayis ben ameis, if you have kazayis ben ameis in a room, it's matam everything bohel. You don't have to have the entire mace. All you need is just the kazayis ben ameis, matame b'mago or b'masa or b'yohel. So what if a dog swallowed a kazayis ben ameis and it didn't have a chance to decompose yet? So the din is that it doesn't cause the tumah to spread over the whole room because it's tumah balua. So the Gemara says, how do you know that you have the right to extend it from Adam to Bein? The pasuk that you quoted only says if it's balua inside the Adam, it's in the stomach of a person. I don't know, even if, how do you know that the din is the same even if it's inside the stomach of a behema? And the Mishnah, I say like that. How can you tell from the pasuk? So the Gemara says it should be a kal v'chaymer that by Adam, a human, a Jewish person, a non-Jew is not mekabel tumah, but a Jewish person is mekabel tumah when he's alive. He can become tameh on his own. Hazav, yoledes, zava, nida, a balkeri. He can. That's tumah yotzal megufa. Or if someone tameh touches him, if he touches a mace, so an Adam is mekabel tumah. Behem, a live behem is not mekabel tumah at all. A dead behem, if it's roi lachila, so it's oichel. So oichelim is mekabel tumah, but a live behem is not mekabel tumah at all. So the Gemara says, well, shouldn't it be a kavu chaymer? Ma'adach adam, who has the possibility and the opportunity of becoming tummy while he's alive, nonetheless, will make a lef it's tumah blua in his stomach is kemisha eino. So behema, which is always tahor, tahora by definition, behema, live behema, can never be tameh at all. So certainly there should be a din that if the kelev swallowed the kazayis ben ameis, it should be tahor. So then the Gemara says, but maybe it's not such a good kal v'chomer. Freg the Gemara, mali adam, she can't tzarech shiba by samanuga. Freg the Gemara, but on the other hand, you're telling me that there's a chumra by adam. There's a kula in Hilchas Tumah V'Tara by Behema that a Behema can never become tummy while it's alive. So you see that in Yoni Tumah V'Tara I'm more kal by Behema than there are by him. So the Gemara says, but there's a pircha on that. There's a din in Hilchas Tumah V'Tara which is more chomer by Behema than it is by Yodam. So the Gemara quotes the din. There's a din of tzaras by people. There's a din of tzaras by Godim, and there's a din of tzaras batim. The din of tzaras batim only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz achuz askam. It's a miracle. It's assumed to be lamalaman. Ateva doesn't correspond to anything the derech ateva. If it does correspond, then it's not tumat tzaras batim. So this din of tzaras batim only applies in Eretz Yisrael. And the din is, if a person walks into the bayis hamenuga, if calls man the coin, doesn't declare it as tummy, so it's not tummy. That's by the beggar, that's by the adam, that's by the batim. You have to have psak hakoin. It's a funny din. Any other tumah, even before anybody paskins on it, if you find out later that the person was a balkeri from last week, so he's tummy as of last week, but by tzaras, so you need a psak hakoin. So the so the din is, once the coin declares that a bais is a bais hamenuga, that's tzaras batim, so whoever walks into the bayis, either Adam, Kalim, that you bring into the bayis, become Tamei. What happens if the Adam is wearing, what happens if the Adam carries clothing or carries Ochel Mamash, Begodim or Takshitim, he carries Begodim or Takshitim in his hand, so just like he becomes Tamei immediately, so the Begodim or the Takshitim that he brings in also become Tamei immediately. What if he's wearing the Begodim, he's wearing the Takshitim on his body, so then the pasuk says, only if he eats babayis. So the Tanoim couldn't believe that that's what it means. Oichal babayis. Depends. If he ate babayis, then the begadim become tam. If he doesn't eat, it doesn't become tam. It doesn't make sense. So he said, it doesn't mean oichal babayis. It means if he shoye kedei achila. If he walks into the house for a moment, then he walks out. Only he's tam, the begadim and the rings and the jewelry that he's wearing are tohar. But if he walks into the bayis and he stays there in the bayis long enough, kedei achila, long enough to eat a whole meal, how much is a whole meal? So the Gemara says, kedei achilas pras. Pras means a half of a big challah. How big is the big challah? They should know how big is the half of a challah. So that's a machlokes satanaim in the Mishnah in Erevin, towards the end of Erevin, whether the big challah is 6 kibetzim or 8 kibetzim. What's the machlokes? Well, what challah are we talking about? That's the challah to go chutz letrum, to be permitted to go chutz letrum. Let's say I live over here and there's a... So you want to make an Erev Etchumen to be allowed to, you're only allowed to go Alpai Mama. Alpai Mama is very little. Alpai Mama is 1 mil. Alpai Mama is 1 mil. 1 mil is 5/8 of a mile. It's very little. So if you live in the middle of the city, so the whole city is Kedal Rams, then you have Alpai Mama Chutzlir. If you live all by yourself in the mountain somewhere, and you're not inside a city, so all you have is Alpai Mama, a circle in all directions. So the... So if you want to go, the Gemara says they made this special kula. Sounds like it's only a kula in the Rabbanon, al pipasha. Erev etchumen. Person wants to go past Alpai Mama because ledvar mitzvah. There's going to be a shir taking place. There's going to be a shever brach. There's going to be some kind of a mitzvah, not ledvar hashus. So the Gemara says we paskan em arvin el ledvar mitzvah. We only permit you to make an erev chatzeres to be allowed to go chutz letrum. Erev etchumen. We only permitted if he wants to go, if the motivation is to go Lidvar Mitzvah. If he wants to go Lidvar Shus, you're not allowed to. What if he went ahead and he did it anyway? So is that just a din lechatchil? Is it even a din b'dievet? That if you made an Erev Etchumen for Lidvar Shus, it doesn't work? That's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. What's a din b'dievet if you did it Lidvar Shus, not Lidvar Mitzvah? Lechatchil, you're only supposed to do Lidvar Mitzvah. So what do you do? Vaz bashteit in Erev Etchumen? So you put mazon shtei sudos in a location. It can't be more than Alpai Mama. I live over here and I want to go 3,000 namas away. You can't go past 2,000 namas. So I leave some food, I leave a jar of gefilte fish, or I leave a challah far away from my house, let's say almost Alpai Mama, so it's Tuch HaTchum of my house, then that's considered my mokum over there, so now I can go another Alpai Mama past that. I can no longer, when I live in my house over here, I can go Alpai Mama around my house. Once I lead in the Erev Etchumen over there, I can't go Alpai Mama in this direction. I can only go Alpai Mama around the location where I left the Erev Etchumen. So how much food do you, what do you have to put? What kind of food? So that's what the Mishnah starts off, the third parak in Erev, Bakomi Arvin. You can make an Erev Etchumen with any kind of food. You can have a jar of pickles, you can have cholent, you can have flesh, you can have gefilte fish, whatever you want. A Rubi Chatzeris has to be only pas. If you make an Eruv Chatzeres to be allowed to carry in a building, that has to be only pas. Lechen shemivach malav hamoitzi. That's why we always use matzah. If you're going to use challah, it's going to get stale. So it'll become hard like a rock. It won't be roi lachila. So use matzah that doesn't dry up. Or if you would use... even though the Svardim say mezoinus on the matzah, but the Gemara said beferish, if it's the kind of mezoinus that if you would be kaver sud on it, it would become hamoitzi, then the Gemara said beferish that it is good. So the Svardim also, on Leil Pesach, when they're kaver sud on the matzah, or not Leil Pesach, all year long, if they eat enough matzah, then they do say hamoitzi on the matzah. Cake. The Gemara says you can use cake for Eruv v'chatzeres, because cake is also called Pasha Mevarchem Olav HaMoitzi. Normally the same as Zainis, but if you eat enough of it, if you eat a ton of cake, then it becomes HaMoitzi. If you eat oatmeal cereal, you can eat a ton of it, it's still going to be Bar Min Mezainis. It doesn't have a shape of a loaf. It doesn't have a Tzuras HaPas at all.
What about Eruv Tavshilin? What kind of food is
Erev Tavshilin, the common practice is that you have something baked, like a challah, or a matzah, or a cake or something. If you plan to bake, if you want to bake on Yom Tov Shabbos, if you plan to bake a challah, or a cake on Yom Tov Shabbos, then you have to have an Erev Tavshilin of Pas, and if you plan to cook on Yom Tov Shabbos, then you have to have a Tavshil. Then you have to put aside something for eating on Shabbos, on Erev Yom Tov. So it's considered as if I already start baking and I already start cooking on Erev Yom Tov. So I'm allowed to cook and bake on Yom Tov, L'Kovet Shabbos. It's a hemshech, it's a continuation of the Bishul and the Afir that I did before. Most people do not bake challahs on Yom Tov and Shabbos. Most people do not bake cakes, they bake on Chalamoid. Most people don't bake on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So strictly speaking, you don't really need the pas and the tapshul. All you need is the tapshul. Everybody wants to cook food on Yom Tov Shabbos to heat up the food. So that's Bishul. So if you want to do Bishul, then you need a Tavshil that was cooked before Yom Tov.
Somebody's not cooking or baking on Shabbos. They're eating out, but they'll be home to sleep, so they have to bench lift.
He's just going to bench licht. So the Mishnah Brura points out, just to bench licht, Taisus and Bates on the top of Amar Aleph, the top Taisus, has two days, whether to bench licht, whether you need an Erev Tavshilin or not. So if that's all you plan to do is to bench lichs, and the Mishnah Berurah says you shouldn't say a bracha when you make the Erev Tavshilin. You should make the Erev Tavshilin b'li bracha. People ask, v'osir shlecht, you made an Erev Tavshilin, and if you decide you want to cook or bake, you're allowed to. Why can't you say a bracha? Because you made a heter, you may not use the heter, but you created a heter of the Erev Tavshilin. I don't know, but that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. If the person doesn't plan to cook or bake, all he's going to do is light the neiros, adlokas on neiros, on Yom Tov and Shabbos. So that's 2 days in Taisus, what they need in Erev Tavshilin. Our nusach is, we say, with this Erev, Hadein Eruv, should be mutter to cook and to bake, ladluk eshraga, and to light the candles. That's because of the 2 days in Taisus. 2 days, 1 day in Taisus, that in order to light the candles, you need an Erev Tavshilin also.
What?
That's what the Mishnah Brura is mecharish, that if all you're going to use the Erev Tavshilin, all you plan to use it for, is to light Neiris, then you should make the Erev Tavshilin b'li bracha.
Well, yeah. Steinberg in Inanna, he told us in a hotel that we should make an Erev Tavshilin, but without cooking, maybe the less, to make it without a bracha.
If what? You should make an Erev Tavshilin?
But without a bracha.
Why? Because all you're going to do is bench lift.
He said you should take a mass of an egg, put it aside, say the nosach, but don't make a bracha.
Right. Because all you're going to do is bench lift.
Right.
That's the Mishnah Brura.
Erev Tavshilin only helps for to cook and to bake. What about other Achorah? I want to
go to the Sefer Torah on Erev Shabbos. If you want to shtel the Sefer Torah on Yom Tov Shabbos, you look in the Shulchan Aruch, there are three opinions. So one opinion is that if you made an Erev Tavshilin, you're allowed to. If you didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, you're not allowed to. One opinion is that even if you made an Erev Tavshilin, you're not permitted to shtel the Sefer Torah on Yom Tov Shabbos. Because the Mechaber quotes the Ran in Beitza on the second parak about Erev Tavshilin. The Ran says in Beitza, Erev Tavshilin only helps to do malachas on Yom Tov Shabbos in connection with eating food. But let's say the rabbi plans to give a shiur on Shabbos. He wants to carry the Svarim on Yom Tov Shabbos to the shul. Chutzla, there's no Erev to carry. He's going to carry the Sefer on Yom Tov Shabbos. He's not going to eat the Sefer. He's going to give a shiur using it. So that the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Ran that it doesn't help. Erev Tavshilin doesn't help for that. So that's what another opinion, the Magen Avraham quotes to this machlokes, that even if you made an Erev Tavshilin, you're not allowed to shtel the Sefer Torah because it has nothing to do with Tzorchei Suda. The Erev Tavshilin is food, so it only helps when you get to food. Mishnah Berurah is not so keen about that chumre. Usually Mishnah Berurah is machman or anything. So here the Mishnah Berurah throws in a kula. He says, there, not everybody agrees with the Ran. Many Rishonim think that once you made an Erev Tav Shilin, you're allowed to even do malachas not for the purpose of eating food, even to carry a sefer. But that's a shan. Then the third opinion about shtamling and sefer is Rabbi Kevega. Rabbi Kevega writes in his commentary on the Mishnayos and in the Tshuvas and in the Orachaim, in all three places, Rabbi Kevega writes, the shtel the sefer Torah is not at all a malacha, just an act of hachana, hachana b'li malacha. So hachana b'li malacha, and Yom Tov Shabbos mutter even without an Erev Tav Shilin. How does he know? Because there's a Mishnah Masech Shabbos, but there's a Machlekes Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Shmo, which has the higher level of Kedusha, Yom Kippur or Shabbos. So Rabbi Kiva thinks that the Yom Kippur has a higher level of Kedusha. We don't pass like Rabbi Kiva, we pass on that Shabbos has the higher level of Kedusha. Rabbi Kiva holds that you give 4 aliyahs on Rosh Chodesh Chol HaMoed, 5 aliyahs on Yom Tov, 6 aliyahs on Shabbos, and 7 aliyahs on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the peak, because Yom Kippur has the highest level of Kedusha. We follow Rabbi Shmuel, Shitasai, that 5 aliyahs on Yom Tov, 6 aliyahs on Yom Kippur, and 7 aliyahs on Shabbos, because Shabbos is higher than Yom Kippur. So it's Machleg, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, Benigeh, how many aliyahs, which has a higher level of Kedusha, Shabbos, and Yom Kippur. Then it's Machleg, it's also Benigeh, too, if Yom Kippur falls out on Erev Shabbos, are you permitted to make the beds on Yom Kippur, Lekavit Shabbos? So Rabbi Kevega says he didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. You're not allowed to cook on Yom Kippur for Shabbos. Erev Tavshilin is only good when a regular Yom Tov falls out on Erev Shabbos. Yom Kippur falls out on Erev Shabbos. By us, Yom Kippur can never fall out. Not on Friday, not on Sunday. But Bizman Shikitsho Alpi Hariya, before they had the fixed calendar, so every so often Yom Kippur would fall out on Friday or on Shabbos. And the Mishnah has this Machlekes of Akiva Rabbi Shmuel. If Yom Kippur falls out on Friday, you say that Shabbos has a higher level of Kedusha, so you're permitted to make the beds on Yom Kippur for Shabbos. Obviously, B'li Erev Tavshilin, who's making an Erev Tavshilin? You're not allowed to cook anything. Or do you say, no, that Yom Kippur has a higher level of Kedusha, so you're being Mechin on a day that has a higher level of Kedusha for the day that has a lower level of Kedusha. Rabbi Kevega says, you see the Ferish in the Mishnah, that's just to set the table, just to do a Hachana that has no Malacha at all, you don't need any Erev Tavshilin. That's what he has in three places. He holds it as mutter to shtel a sefer Torah even if he didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, because it's a achana b'li malacha, so that's not a problem.
Why is it left like Rabbi Shmuel over Rabbi Akiva?
I don't know. It's usual, unusual. Usually when there's machlekes of Rabbi Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mechaveiro, whenever Rabbi Akiva disagrees with a contemporary of his, ruba de ruba we pass like Rabbi Akiva. Mechaveiro, b'lo mechaveiro. But here it's Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. And every so often there's an exception to the rule. It's not, there is no rule. It's not that there's a rule. The din is always like Rabbi Akiva against Rabbi Shmuel. What kind of a rule is that? The Pashto says they took a vote. In the days of Damaran, they took a vote on every single machlekes in the Gemara. The same thing, the din is always like Rabbi except for Yalkagam. That's a rule, the din is always like Rabbi. Who made up this rule? Why should din and always be like Rabbi? Pashto Pshat in the Gemara means they took a vote on every issue. And it turned out that the majority opinion always was like Rava, except for six cases, that the majority was like Abai. That's halachic Abai, the Al-Kigam. So they wrote it down as a rule in the later generations. So the same halachic Rabbi Akiva Mechaveiro, lo Mechaveiro, means that they took a vote on every issue, and it always turned out that the majority, the consensus was always like Rabbi Akiva. Over here, when they took the vote, the consensus was like Rabbi Shmo, that Shabbos has the higher level of Kedusha, higher than Yom Kippur.
Person's not allowed to invite a goy by Yom Yantav, but Shabbos he is. So in this case, where Shabbos, Yantav was there, Shabbos made an Erev Tavshila. Would he be able to invite the goy Shabbos? Because he's cooking on Friday. He's cooking, he'd be Marbe Bashila.
What he's going to cook on Yantav for Shabbos?
For
that's a good shayla. Are you allowed to invite a goy for that Shabbos? Because he's going to cook on Yantav for Shabbos. That's a very good question. I don't remember that it's discussed in Shulchan Aruch. That's a very good point. I don't know. So Nachum also, if you want to go chutz l'tchum, the pashut pshat is that the whole concept of erev tchumen is only midirabbanan, because the whole concept of tchum Shabbos is only midirabbanan. That's the Mishnah Berurah raises that shaila. The Rambam and the Rif quote a passage from the Talmud Yerushalmi that if you want to go yud beis mil, tchum Shabbos is 1 mil, alpai mam is 1 mil. What if you want to go past yud beis mil? So the Rambam and the Rif and the Mechaber paskins like that's an Issa Tchum and Deraisa. The Rambam paskins like Tosfos that there is no such Gemara anywhere in the Bavli, that's a Yerushalmi. So the Mechaber paskins like the Yerushalmi because the Rif and the Rambam quoted it. And the Rambam paskins like the Bavli HaTosfos, the old Tchum and his Drabana, even to go Yud Beis Mil. So the Mishnah Berurah raises the question If one would have held that Yud Beis Mil is their Isa, he hold like the Mechaber. Or if you hold like Rebbe Akiva, that Alpai Mama is their Isa. The Gemara says we don't pass like Rebbe Akiva. Akiva's opinion is that Tchumen is their Isa, Alpai Mama. One mil is an Isa, their Isa. So would it make sense on the level of their Isa to make an Erev a Tchumen to allow you to go Chutz L'Tchum? So the Pashta says no. This whole gimmick, the whole Eruv a Tchumen, you leave food over there, 1800 amas away from your house, and you consider it as if that's your makom, and then you have a difference. All the pashtus is the whole thing is only akula midirabanan, because the whole din of tchumen is only derabanan, and that's why emar and arvin ele ledvar mitzvah. You're not allowed to be marav ledvar shus, because it's a kula that the hey mamar behe mamar. The whole prohibition of tchumen is derabanan, so they made a kula to make an erev tchumen, but it wouldn't work on a level of deraisa al pi pashtus. So the Mishnah Brura raises this question as some funny question in the bir halacha. Then he dug up a Ramban in the end of Erevin, where the Ramban says that it works min haTorah. Even if the din is that Tchumen is the Raisa, he can still make an Erev et Tchumen. Very surprising, Ramban. The Pashta says not so. Pashta says that the whole Erev et Tchumen is only Akula, because the whole din of Tchumen is only the Rabban. So what do you have to leave? So you leave food. Erev et Tchumen, you leave food. How much food do you have to leave? What kind of food? Bakol miArvin. Any, except for Kameima Patrios. No one understands why. You can't use... Mushrooms. What's wrong with Kmeima Patrios? I don't know. The Don Gaon thinks that it's a mistake. It's a misunderstanding that goes on a different day. It goes on Pidyon Ma'isusheni. It doesn't go. But all the Rishonim understood the Mishnah Kipshuta, that the mushrooms are all the other macholam are good. So what kind of halacha is that? So wherever you leave your food is considered as if that's my makom, and you have to leave enough food to eat. On Shabbos you're supposed to have three sudas, shalosh sudas. But the main two sudas are the first one, Achaz Bayom, Achaz Balayla. That's why there's one opinion in Taisvus. The Ri is Mesupik, then maybe Suda Shlishis, maybe Shalosh Sudas, you don't have to wash. Maybe Yotze Shalosh Shlishis with Mini Tagima, just by having a piece of gefilte fish, or some potatoes, or Sholent or something. Maybe you don't fruits and vegetables, maybe you don't have to have pas all three times. So the main two meals are the Achaz Bayom, Achaz Balayla. So that's what the Mishnah says. If you leave Mazon Shtei Sudas, you leave enough food that would be sufficient for two meals. What does it mean? You eat a whole meal, you have soup, and you have vegetable salad, then you have kugel, and you have cholent, and you have chicken, and you have flesh, and you have dessert, and you have all kinds of things, entree and everything. So the question is, how much pickles would you eat in two meals? How much challah would you eat in two meals? How much gefilte fish would you eat in two meals? So whatever is normal to eat in a meal, you multiply it by two, and that's what the Erev Tchumen has to be. You have to leave enough, if you make an Erev Tchumen with pickles, you have to have enough pickles that's normal to eat in two meals. That's not going to be the whole meal, it's not going to be pickles, challah. The whole meal is not going to be challah, you're going to eat a little bit of challah. You're going to have a gefilte fish, so you don't need a whole jar of gefilte fish. How much gefilte fish would a person eat in two meals? So that's called Mazon Shtei Sudas. So there's a machlekes hatanoim. How much is Mazon Shtei Sudas of bread? Is it 8 kibbetzim of bread, or is it 6 kibbetzim of bread? And the days of the tanoim, until recently, the main meal was really bread. People of European, they used to eat a lot of bread. In Eretzal also, Israel, they used to have, in all the yeshivas, the Israelis, where they eat 8 slices of bread and a little bit of whatever. They would smear on the bread. In America, everybody's on a diet, so hardly anybody eats any bread. It's just you barely eat a kazais in the beginning of the meal, and then you don't eat anything later on. But the Tanaim have this machlokes, how much bread is normal to eat in one meal, and you have to multiply by two. So one Tana says it's normal to eat 3 kibbetzim of bread in a meal. So Mazon Shtei Sudas, the big challah for the purpose of Erev Tchumen, is 6 kibbetzim of challah. The other Tana says normal is to eat 4 kibbetzim of bread in a meal, together with everything else in the meal. So Mazon Shtei Sudas, the big challah, is going to be 8 kibbetzim of bread. So when you cut that in half, that's how much bread would you eat in one meal? Either 3 beitzim or 4 beitzim. That's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. Which tan is opinion to accept? In the end of Erevin around Daf Pei Beis, it's a machlekes in the Mishnah, whether the big challah for Erev Tchumen purposes is 6 beitzim or 8 beitzim. So a pras means when you cut that in half, how much bread do you eat in one meal? So that's what the pasuk, that's how the Tanoim, that's how the Torah Shabbat Peh has a tradition, that's pshat in the pasuk. I walk into a bayis hamenuga, or I carry in kelim, or I carry in tachshitim, so I'm a kabel tumah right away. The clothing that I bring in, I'm a kabel tumah right away. If I'm wearing the clothing and I walk in, I walk out, so I become tummy right away. But the clothing that I'm wearing only becomes tame if ho'echel babayis. So the Tanoim had a tradition, it doesn't make sense. The begotim that I wear become tame only if I eat. If I don't eat, it doesn't become tame. What does the eating have to do with the begotim? So they understood ho'echel babayis means if you shoya babayis kedei achila. If you stay in the bayis hamanuga long enough to have eaten. To have eaten what? To have eaten what? So long enough to eat sura achas of bread. What kind of bread? There are different kinds of bread. There's bread, there's whole wheat bread, and there's pumpernickel bread, and there's white bread, all kinds of different kinds of bread. Some of the breads are drier than others, so it takes a longer time till you swallow. Some have more moisture, so you can swallow it down your throat the easier. So the Mishnah says, Kedei achilas pras pas chitim, wheat bread, mesev ve'echel beliftun, dipping it into some kind of a salad dressing so it'll be moist, they'll be able to swallow it faster, and mesev eating it in a reclining position so it'll be more comfortable to eat, easier to eat. So this is the shear of Kedei achilas pras pas chitim, mesev ve'echel beliftun. We know that we don't have any bayis hamenuga, we don't have any kohanim declaring that a house in Eretz Yisrael is a bayis hamenuga, but this year of kedei achilas pras is relevant for other halachas. Let's say a person eats a Pesach night, you have to eat a kazayis of matzah. So if you eat a little bit now, a little bit later, a little bit later, 10 minutes in between each nibbling, so it's not mitztarf yachad. It's only mitztarf yachad to a kazayis if from the beginning of the first mashu till the end of the last mashu adds up to the kazayis. The whole thing was Tuch Kedei Achilas Pras. So the original source of that concept, Tuch Kedei Achilas Pras, is by the Bayis HaMenuga. That's where it has it in Chumash. So the Gemara says that this halacha, that if I'm wearing clothing and I walk into the Bayis HaMenuga, I walk out right away, so I become Tame, the clothing don't become Tame. This is a Kula by Odom. We said on the one hand, you're talking about Tumas Odom and Tumas Beim. So live animals are not mekabel tuma at all. Live people, if Jewish people are mekabel, Nochri is not mekabel tuma. And every Knaini is funny, there's a Tosfos in the end of Nozir. Tosfos writes that an every Knaini is not mekabel tuma. So Rabbi Kevegi writes on this side, he never heard of that. He doesn't think that it's correct. There is no such thing. And every Knaini is Jewish, he's chayv mitzvah kisha. He's not chayv in all the mitzvahs aseh as bagrama. But it's chayv mitzvahs kisha. Why should you treat him like a nochri? But that's what Tosfos writes. Every knayni is not mekabel tumah. So the Gemara says, on the one hand, it should be a kal v'chaymer. If by Adam can become tumah while he's alive, he can develop tumah. He can be mekabel tumah from outside. So if Adam has the kula that the ring that's tumah or the nevela that's in his stomach that's tumah. If it's baluas kemisha eino, if it's baluas tuma baluas kemisha eino, so kal v'chaymer by behema has no tuma at all, can't become tuma while it's alive. After it's dead, if it's roi lachila, then it's makabel tuma sochel. But calls man that it's alive, there's no tuma at all. So behema should certainly have that kula that anything that's inside the stomach of the dog, inside the stomach of the behema, should be baluas, should be tor. Then the Gemara says, on the other hand, don't you have a chumra? That if a person walks into a bayis hamenuga, there's a kula by Adam, even though on the one hand Adam is macham, he's mekabel tumah, but there's a kula by Adam that doesn't apply to behemah. What's that kula? If an Adam walks into the bayis hamenuga, he becomes tummy right away, but the begotim that he's wearing doesn't become tummy right away. But by a behemah, the Gemara says the behemah goes into the bayis hamenuga, the begotim become tummy right away. So you see that there's a chumrah by behema over Adam. So if when you get to some, you can't tell already which is more chumrah, which is more kal. Usually when you make a kal v'chaymer, you say A is more chumrah than B. I didn't know A is more chumrah, because there's one halacha where we see that A is more chumrah than B. But if you have one halacha, let's say A and B, each one has 1,001 halachas. All you need is one halacha that it's machamer, you can already make a kavachem. But if you can dig up a din where B is machamer, then A is one halacha. So it's a pircha, so you don't know whether A is machamer, B is machamer. So that's what the Gemara says over here. You're telling me that Adam is machamer than Behema benegir to Kabbalah's tumah. Adam can be mekabel tumah while he's alive. Behema can't be mekabel tumah. But you have another quirk of a din where it shows that Behema is machamer than Adam. That Behema, if the Behema walks into the Bayis HaMenuga, the begotim become tameh immediately. And if an Adam walks in, the begotim that he's wearing do not become tameh immediately. Gemara says, not true. There is no such thing. When does the halacha say that the begotim that the behema, if the behema goes in, let's say an Adam walks into the Bais HaMenugah and is carrying clothing in his hand. So the clothing that he's wearing doesn't become tamei unless he's shoya k'deachilas pras paschitim. But the begadim that he's carrying in his hand becomes tamei right away. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about by the behema? The behema is walking in with clothing, not wearing clothing. The behema is walking in with clothing on its back. It's carrying a bundle. So that's the same din by Adam. Adam and behema are the same din. So you have not made a pircha against the Kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer is accurate, it's correct, that Adam is more chomer than behema with respect to tumah v'tar. Because Adam is mekabel tumah while he's alive, behema is not mekabel tumah. And this argument about shei k'dei achilas pras is not correct. That's what the Gemara says. It's not correct. Because by the behema, you're talking behema walked into the Bais HaMenugah carrying the begadim on its back, al gabov, so by Adam is exactly the same. So it blipped that that's the Kal v'chomer. A lot of the poskim assume that the Chasam Sofer, many others, Mishnah Berurah quotes this, that the shir k'dei achilas pras is the same. The shir k'dei achilas pras. How quickly do you have to eat the matzah? How quickly do you have to drink something? To drink your aviyas in order to say a bracha achrayin, in order to say baruch poshes, in order to say alagef, and how fast do you have to eat? So they assume everything depends on k'dei achilas pras paschit and mesav yechav beliftin. It's the same shear. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes Chasam Sofer says that it's 11 minutes, and some say that it's 3 minutes, whatever, 5 minutes, different shear. Minchas Chinah says the whole thing is a mistake. Each food depends on it on its own. How fast does it take you to eat the food? The only time it has a standard shear, k'dei achilas pras paschit and mesav yechav beliftin. That's when the fellow is in the Bais HaMenugah and he's wearing clothing and he's not eating anything. He's not eating a thing. The din is, if he pauses in the house, the Bais HaMenugah is so long to eat, k'dei achilas pras paschit mesa v'yechav beliftan, then the begadim that he's wearing become tummy. So the guy's not eating anything. So there you have to give a shear, hishaya k'dei achilas pras of this particular food. But if he's actually eating or drinking something, it depends how long would it take you. If you wouldn't be talking in between, not carrying on any conversation, how long would it take you to eat a pras, 4 beitzim or 3 beitzim of that particular food that you're eating now? That's the Minchas Chinah time. He thinks that all of the achrayim will give you a standard shear. Same shear for the matzah, for the morah, for the arbekaisis, and for eating on Yom Kippur, whatever you're eating, eggs and dry food and moist food. They say it's always the same shear, 11 minutes or 3 minutes or whatever. How can it be the same shear? Maybe Michael should be different. There's even a machlekes if you're drinking hot tea or hot coffee, whether the shir k'dei achilas pras depends on burning hot coffee like you're drinking or coffee at room temperature, which you can swallow much quicker. It's the exact same coffee, but one is burning hot and it takes longer to sip it. You don't want to burn your tongue. And the other one is room temperature or cooler, so you can drink it faster. So the Minchas Chinah says, you see that the poskim say, it depends on the particular maichel that you're eating. They're just mesupik, whether it depends on the maichel the exact same way it is now, burning hot, or it depends on tea. It doesn't mean burning hot tea. But you don't give the shear for paschitim, you don't give the shear of 11 minutes for coffee. Coffee is a liquid. You're going to drink it much faster than 11 minutes. It's less than 1 minute to drink 4 beitzim of coffee. That's the Gemara. So this is the Gemara that we learned Rabbah. Rabbah started off just like one din is given. We have a pasuk in Chumash, or Echad min Ivlasa, and we have a Mishnah that indicates like that, that Tuma B'luyo is Kemisha Eino. So too, even though there's no pasuk, and even though there's no Beferish and Mishnah, we can derive, based on a Kal v'chomer, from the Mukh of Tamid Pasal, that if Balua is Kemisha Eino, Benegeh to preventing the tumah from going out, so the Kal v'chomer that Balu is k'mishena b'negeh to protecting the Dabar Torah that it shouldn't become tumah. So Omar Rava, so Rava is the next generation after Abai v'Rava, learned by Rabbi v'Rav Yosef. Omar Rava, so Rava says, what did Rav Yosef make an assumption? That one din is more obvious than the other, that tumah Balu is a pasuk and a mishnah and Tara Balu, just like that's given, so too we can derive, even Tara Blu is not Mekabel Tumah. Everything is an often a Mishnah. What do you mean, just like so too? The second din of Tara Blu is just as elementary as the first din. That's how Tesis learns Pshat. Rashi doesn't exactly learn the same mistakes, but Tesis learns a Posh Pshat like that. Omar Rabbe, so Rabbe has a taina against Rabbe, Trabayotinini, they're both often in Mishnais. Why does Rabbe talk as if the Tuma Blua is more obvious a din than the Tara Blua? Because Tuma Blua is the Pasuk, Echamene Vlosa. But Rabbe says they're both often in Mishnais. So what did Rabbe discover in America? And they're both equally obvious in the Mishnais. Why? So he says he's going to quote the Mishnais. Tuma Blua does not. That if the tumah is below in the stomach, that's enough in a Mishnah Mikvos. They're both going to be Mishnah's. It's not. Bola tabas temeya. What do you mean a tabas temeya? Let's say a person goes to a funeral. So the mace is considered Abi Avoy Satum, and he's in the same room. So he and all the clothing that he's wearing, they become Av HaTumah. Whenever the tumah is transmitted from one person to another, from one thing to another, it goes down a madrega. That's called till the same Lapka Yetzibah. When you have the told of tumah, it's transmitted to one thing, then to another thing, to another thing. It always goes down a madrig. So we call the dead body the mace is avi avoy satumah. So whoever goes to a funeral, the tumah is transmitted. He becomes an av hatumah. So the odam and the kalim, let's say he's wearing a ring. There's a din if you're wearing the ring and you go into a bais hamenugah, the ring doesn't become tummy. But if you go into a mace, you go into oil a mace, so the ring becomes tummy immediately. You become tummy right away. The ring becomes tummy. So if it's a metal ring. So that's a famous din of Cherev Harei Kecholom. The Pasuk says, if a person touches Bachalal Cherev by the mace, if you touch Halal Cherev, so how do you translate Halal Cherev? Cholom means a murdered body, a person who is murdered. So Halal Cherev means a person who is murdered by a sword. So what did the Torah have to say? He was murdered by a sword. He's dead. A person is dead, whether he died a natural death, or he was killed, or he was killed with a bullet, killed with poison, an afkamin. So the Tanoim had a tradition, Chalal Cherev teaches you a din, the Cherev Harei Kecholom. Not only does the mace has the status of Avi Avai Satumah, the Cherev, the metal kli with which he was killed, also has the status of Avi Avai Satumah. So some Rishonim write incorrectly that the din of Cherev Harei Kecholom is only if that was the murder weapon with which he was killed. If they killed him with a cherev, so cherev harei kecholom. That's against all the Mishnais. Mishnais say beferish that by tumas meis, even if it's a metal kli in the room, there's a fork, a knife, it doesn't have to be the murder weapon with which he was murdered. That's a difficult statement. One of the mefarshim on the Mishnais writes like that. That's keneged haMishnais. That's not correct. So there's a din of cherev harei kecholom. There's a big machlokes, the Shach and Yerideya, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes the din. Shach and Yerideya points out that it's really a machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos and Psochim. In the first pair of Psochim, machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, when does Cherev Harei Kecholom apply? So we usually say a kli mateches, a metal kli. So not all the Rishonim agree. Many Rishonim say it applies to all Kelim, except for a kli cheres. It doesn't apply to kli cheres. Let's say, there's a mace in the room, and then there's a china mug. There's a china, what do you call it? A coffee cup. Yeah. So a china kli can never become an avatum. Because the Gemara has next to the last daf in Arab, I think we learned that. Called Dabashain Latarib Mimikva in a nasa avatumah. From the four categories of things that have a kabal tumah, Adam Mikalim, Ochel Mamashkim, so Adam Mikalim can have Tarib Mimikva, and Ochel Mamashkim do not have Tarib Mimikva. So the Gemara learns that from a pasuk, Adam and Kalim, which lend themselves, if they'll become Tamei, they lend themselves to become Tohar by Tefillin and Mikveh, so that can sometimes become an Av HaTumah. So if you go to a funeral, and the mace is Avi Avois, and the tumah is transmitted to Adam and Kalim, normal Kalim, so then the Kalim become Av HaTumah. But if you have a Kli Cheres in the room, Kli Cheres ain't Latarab and Mikveh, if the Kli Cheres becomes Tamei, the only way to make a Torah is by smashing it. Shvirus HaKli, because it can't retain the tumah if it doesn't have a Shem Kli. But if you're just going to be Tovel and a Mikvah, so Tvil and a Mikvah doesn't help for a Kli Cheres, so therefore it can never become an Av HaTumah. So that's clear from the Gemara. So Cherev Harei Kecholom only applies to Kelim other than Kli Cheres. What about clothing? Let's say I go to a funeral, so I become an Av HaTumah. They say the clothing that I'm wearing becomes Avi Avos HaTumah. If I'm wearing a ring, so the ring becomes Avi Avos HaTumah. The same, the tumah doesn't go down a madrega. The mace is Avi Avos. And when I walk in with a ring, So I walk in with a knife in my pocket, whatever, a pocket knife. So the knife is a kli mateches, so the kli mateches becomes an avi avos hatumah. Avi avos hatumah. What if I have clothing? So the clothing also becomes avi avos hatumah. So that's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Raiva, and a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. Does chero erekechol only apply to kli mateches? Or no, it applies to all kelim with the exception of kli cheres. Because kli cheres is a lower madrig. So that's a big machlekes. The Shach quotes the machlekes in Yerideya. Yeah, so what's again the case? So there is a din of cherev harekuchol. Yeah. So let's say I went to a funeral and I was wearing a ring. So the ring becomes avi avos hatumah. Metal ring, so l'choladeza, it becomes avi avos hatumah. So later on, I leave the room where the mace is and I go shake hands with someone else. So I'm an av hatumah, so I make him into a rishon l'tumah. When the tumah transmitted, it goes down a madrega. That's called told the same lav kayotze b'hem. So what if instead of shaking hands with me, what if he touches the ring? So the ring is avi avos hatumah, because chever kechol. So he touches the ring, so he becomes an av hatumah. If I touch him without him touching the ring, I'm an av hatumah, I make him to a rishon. But if he touches the ring, chever kechol, it makes him to an av hatumah, because the ring is avi avos hatumah. Yeah. So the shaila is, cherev harei kucholol only means it's a madrega of avi avos hatumah, that's all. What about, let's say, a mace is matami ba'ohel? So would you say the ring is also matami ba'ohel? Or you say, no, a mace is matami ba'ohel. The ring is avi avos hatumah, but it's not a mace, it's a tami tumas mace. So that's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos over here. That's a machlekes Rashi. It's really, I don't know why they're not mitzayin it. It's a famous machlekes harishayim in Nozir around Nun Dalit. It's a machlekes harishayim. Let's say someone touches the ring, so he becomes, the ring is avi avos hatumah, because chever erekecholo, so he becomes an av hatumah. If he just touches me, he becomes a rishon. If he touches the ring, becomes an av hatumah. Is he an av hatumah like me that I need hazosh shlishi shvi from the paraduma water? But they say, no, it becomes an avatum. He doesn't have to wait 7 days. He doesn't need hazosh lishi shvi. He can just go to mikveh the same day. Kozman, he didn't go to mikveh. He's an avatum, but that time he needs hazosh lishi shvi. Or let's say, a kohen is not permitted to come in contact with a mace. What if there's a cherev harei kecholo? So also a kohen is not allowed to come in contact. He says, cherev harei kecholo all the way. Has all the dinim of a mace, that is metami ba'ohel, and you need hazor shlishi shvi, you need 7 days, and a kohen is Muslim not to come in contact. So that's a big machlekes. The Rabbeinu Tam was machmer on that. The Rabbeinu Tam was machmer. Cherev harekechol is matami ba'ohel, and a kohen is not allowed to come in contact with the tumas cherev harekechol. I there's a beferish brisa in Maseches Mochos. Maseches Mochos was written in the days of the Gaonim, written by the Gaonim Eretz Yisrael. And it's called Maseches Mochos. It's a Loshen Saginor. It really means Maseches Hilchas Avelis. But they don't want to say Avelis. That's a negative thing. So they call Hilchas Mochos. Maseches Mochos. So they're going right there. That kol tuma shein anoz megalei chale en akayin muzer aleha. A tuma like Cherev Harei Kecholol appears in the Mishnah in Nozer and Nun Dalet, that if the Nozer comes in contact with the Cherev Harei Kecholol, he can't count those days for his Naziris, but you don't say Hayamim Harishanim Yitlu, and he doesn't have to bring the Karbonis Nazir Tomei. Those dinim don't apply. Kozman is Tomei Tumas Mace because of the Cherev. Those days are not Oyle for the Naziris. But you don't say he has to start counting all over again. So in the Maseches Mochos that was composed by the Goyim, it says, Eni Tumas Shein HaNazir Megalech Aleh, namely Cherev Harei Kecholo, Ein HaKoyin Muzrul, the Koyin is permitted to come in contact with the Cherev Harei Kecholo. So how can the Rabbeinu Tam argue with the Braisa in Maseches Mochos? So he says the Gaonim made a mistake. It's not a Mishnah, it's not a Braisa for the Tanaim. It was written by the Gaonim. So he says, with all due respect, he disagrees. It's not correct. In Shulchan Aruch, we don't paskin like the Rabbeinu Tam. We paskin like the Maseches Mochos, because most of the Rishonim did accept it. The Rambam, most of the Rishonim did accept the Maseches Mochos, that a Kohen is permitted to come in contact with the Cherev Harei Kecholo. So that's the famous, I think someone mentioned that last week, that's the famous letter. Rab Chaim Kohen was a Talmud of the Rabbeinu Tam. So he sent a letter, he already moved away, didn't learn by the Rabbeinu Tam anymore after several years. So he sent him a letter, I understand that you came up with a Chiddush, that a Cherev Harei Kecholo is metami ba'ohel, and the kohen is not allowed to come in context. So he wrote melitzas from Chumash. Eiz bayis asher tivnu li. Where can I enter any house? Ein bayis asher ein shameis. Every house, someone years ago, people would die at home. They didn't die in the hospital. They would die at home. So ein bayis asher ein shameis. That's the melitza by Makas Pcheris. Ein bayis asher ein shameis. Every house in Europe must have had somebody died there at some time or another. And every house has a fork or a knife or a spoon. That's a kli mateches. That's chayav erek echolo. So if it's metami ba'ohel, and the kohen is buzzer on tumazol, so a kohen can't walk into any house. That's impossible. Rabbi Natan wasn't a kohen, so he wasn't thinking when he said that. But that's impossible. He can't accept such an opinion. So that's one shulchan aruch. We don't accept Rabbi Natan's opinion. That'd make life impossible. He can't. It's not shaykh to say like that. He can't walk into a house where someone once died because chayav erek echolo. So he passed, and the kohen is not muzzer on tumas meis. So that's what the Gemara is quoting here on Mishnah. The Mishnah says, a person swallowed tabas tameya. He swallowed a tabas, a ring that's made from metal, and it came in contact with a mace, and it's a cherev harek hachol, so it has the din of Abi Abayis HaTuma, but right now it's in his stomach. And he's tummy also. He was at a funeral. He became tummy. So he has to wait 7 days and eats hazah shlishi shvi from paraduma water. And after the hazah, on the third day after the funeral, after the hazah, on the seventh day, now he's able to go to mikveh to become tovar. People make a mistake. They think you do paraduma water and that's it. No. Paraduma, the sprinkling of paraduma water, but he's atar al atame, makes him able to go, he's now roy to go to mikveh to become tahar. But the paraduma water doesn't do the tahar. It just prepares him that he would be able to be tovel. So that's what it says. Bola tabas tame, he went to a funeral and he was wearing a ring. And the ring became tame and he swallowed the ring. So tovel, he has to have hazash lishishvi, he's tame. He's tovel on the seventh day. And then he has to have Hara Shemesh, fine. So that night after Tzeisar Kechavim, he's allowed to eat Truma. And then after he eats the Truma is going to be inside his stomach together with his ring. And the ring is still Tomei. Because the Azosh Lishi Shvi was only good on his body. It didn't accomplish any Tahara on the ring. The ring remains Tomei. But Kozman, the ring is in his stomach, it's Tuma Blua. So it doesn't bother me the fact that the Truma is touching the ring. That doesn't pose any problem because balua doesn't count. But then hikia, then if he throws up and the ring comes out, how can it be hikia? The ring was in his stomach for 7 days and he throws out. Okay, usually it'll probably come out the other end. It's going to come out somehow, either this way or the other way. Hikia, when he vomits up the ring, tameo, the ring remains tummy because he went to the mikveh. He had azor shlishi. He went to the mikveh that made him tar. But the ring still remains tame. And then when he touches the ring later, the timasai. When he touches the ring, after it comes out. So the ring is still in Avi Avos HaTum. It's metame him, makes the man who swallowed it, who already went to the mikveh, makes him tame as an Avi HaTum. So that's a raya. That's the Mishnah that Tuma Blua is Kimisha'ino. Because Kol's man, the ring is in his stomach, it doesn't pose any problems. You don't say that it's metame him b'masa. Just like a mace is metame b'masa, so the ring in my stomach is metame me, or when I swallow the truma, so the truma is going to be touching the ring, that's not a problem. So you see, the tuma blue is not metame. And tara blue is the Zelda Mishnah, the same Mishnah. So what a rabbi write, just like there's a din that's given, the tuma blue is not metame, so too we can derive, we can make a kavacham. What do you need is kavacham? Everything is in the Mishnah. What do you need rabbi to discover America? It's all in the Mishnah. And Tara Blue is also Tanina. It's the same Mishnah, the very same Mishnah Mikvah Tisnan. Bolat Abbas Tahor. A person swallows a ring, that's Tahor. V'nichnas lo'el ha'meis. He goes to a funeral. So he becomes Tameh. But the ring in his stomach is Tara Blue is Kemisha'eno. It's not Mikalva Tumah. But he became Tameh, so he has to have Hazos Shlishi Shvi. Okay. V'hiza V'shana. He had Hazos Paraduma water on the third day. V'shana, he repeated it on the seventh day. V'tobal. Then he went to Mikvah and he becomes Tahor. Fine. Then the hikia, now he throws up the ring. So the ring was tohar all along. The ring was tohar. The hikia, arei kamisha haisa. So you see that tara blue is not mekabel tumah. It's not that the hazor shlishvi and the tefillah and the mikvah was good for the ring. The ring never became tumah in the first place. So that's what Rabbah tainis against Rabbah. Why did Rabbah present it as if one din is given and the other din is derived from the original din? Kishem shel tumah blua is not betame, it's kemisha'ina, so too tarbalua is not mekabel tumah. Everything is in the same Mishnah, mikvahs. So what do you need? Rabbah is deriving one from the other. And for the Gemara, kikom a Rabbah, No, the Chiddush that Rab is adding on is something that was state nisht in the Mishnah. The Mishnah talks that fellow swallowed a ring that's tameh, or the other fellow swallowed a ring that's tor. What if the guy swallowed two rings? One ring is tameh, one ring is tor. So maybe the only time there's a din of tuma blua, tara blua is kemisha eino, if it's something is blua inside and then there's something going on outside. There's a mace outside. There's a mace outside and the ring tohar inside, so the ring is not mekabel tuma from the outside. Or the ring is tame inside, I want to know whether I become tame. I'm doing masa on the ring. So the ring, with respect to me, the ring is balua and I'm not balua. What if you have a box and you have two things in the box? One is tame, one is tar. And you shake the box and the two things are touching each other. So you're going to say it's balua. It's not balua. Balua is only it's either in the rechem, or it's in the stomach, or it's in the other end, where the tzoya comes out. That's also called balua. Balua in the stomach is lamaila, balua lamato is in the base array. So balua has to be, one is balua, one is not balua. What if both of the things are balua? So maybe you should compare it to a box where you have a closed box, you have a kazayis ben ames in the box, and you have a kli in the box, and you shake the box and the two are touching each other. So you don't say that it's kemisha eino. You don't say it's not balua kemisha eino, they're both inside the box. And maybe over here, if you're going to bowl the shtei tabos, achas tamei v'achas tohoira, the lo metami lo, tamei el tohoira. That's where Rabbi said a chiddush. One can ding zach, one can argue, if you would only have the Mishnah mikvos that we just quoted now, you see that if something is balua, either the ring that's tohoira, the ring that's tamei, doesn't relate, it's kemisha eino, it doesn't relate to the tumas ames outside, it's not metami anybody else, not metami me. What if they're both inside the stomach? So that's Rabbi's Chiddush, Tosh Hashanei Mala Chiddush. Even though they're both Balua, it's also not Mitami. The one is not Mitami the other.
Fine.
What?
It's mace in the box with the ring, isn't it? Tumas oil?
Okay. It'll be Tami already, maybe before. Okay. So let's say not a Kezayis Ben Hamez, let's say it's Kezayis Ben Hanavela, which is only Mitami Bemago Ubemasa. So, and then you close up the box, and then you shake the box, and the kezayis nevela is touching the ring. So that's not called balua. Balua is only inside a behemoth, inside a person, inside the rechem, inside the stomach. That's not balua. So one might have thought even inside the stomach, but if they're both rings, one is tummy, one is tummy, they're both inside the stomach, maybe you can argue the point. It's not called balua. If balua is kimishena vis-a-vis something that's not balua. But if they're both inside the stomach, they be considered like two things in a box. So that was Rabbi's Chiddush, Rishonei Mola Chiddush. Freg the Gemara now on the top line on the next daf. But what Rabbi said contradicts the Mishnah. That's what's it doing over here? Because the Mishnah says the Achaya means the Mialedes, the midwife. So the midwife sticks her hand inside. The doctor told the woman that there's no heartbeat on the baby. The baby is dead. So the baby is dead, but it's inside. So it's Tumah Blua is not Mitami the mother. So the mother is Tahira. But the Chaya sticks her hand inside and she's touching the fetus. She's pushing the fetus around. So the Mishnah says that the Chaya is Tameya. So the Gemara asks, does not contradict what they just said? In fact, the Gemara, Uber, if the fetus inside the mother's Rechem is not alive, Uber v'chaya, and the Mialedis is the Chaya. The Kishtei Taboa is Dami. That's like two rings in the same, in the stomach. So here you have, she's the Chaya, the Mialedis, the midwife stuck her hand inside, and she's touching the dead fetus inside. The Mishnah says she is Tameya. Either both her hand and the Uber are both inside the Rechem. So they're both balua, and you see from the mission that it is tame. So you see that the svar lachalik is correct. The only time there's a din, the tomb of blua is not betame, if one thing is balua and the other thing that you want it to affect is not balua. But if they're both balua, that's like two things in a box. Doesn't the Mishnah contradict what you just said? Like two taboys in the same stomach. Doesn't the Mishnah contradict Rabbi? So Rabbi says, no, that's a different story. The only time it's called balua is if you have a ring in the stomach. That's called balua. Or a dog swallowed a kazayis nevela, a kazayis ben ames, that's called balua. But if the woman is pregnant and she has an uber inside, even though the fetus is dead, that's not called balua. Favos nisht, shani ubehol, besofa lot says it's not called balua because normally a pregnant woman, the baby is going to come out. So Frank Digmar, the ring is also going to come out. What, the ring is going to stay there forever? Omar Rava, so Rava Tainis, Rava was the Talmud of Rava. He says, Uba Sofalotzis and Tabas ain't Sofalotzis. Tabas also going to come out. Either he's going to vomit it up over here, or he's going to come out and the other end's also Sofalotzis. So, and Rava said, despite the fact that it's Sofalotzis, he said that one is not Metame the other. It's called Balua. So why by the Uber and the Mialet, it should be the same. Elam Arava, so Rava says the correct answer is by the rabbi from Pumbedisa. Pumbedisa, Yadi time of the Homilsa. The Chacham from Pumbedisa knows the secret. Mana Rav Yosef. Rabbi Rav Yosef were at the same time. They were contemporaries. So first the rabbi was the Rosh Hashiva, then Rav Yosef was the Rosh Hashiva. Yeah. So if the rabbi passed away, then Rav Yosef became the Rosh Hashiva, yeah, from Pumbedisa. So Rav Yosef knows the secret of Pshat in the Mishnah. The Amar Rav Yosef in the name of Amar Rav Yudah, in the name of Shmuel, Rav Yosef quotes in the name of Rav Yudah, who in turn quotes the name of Shmuel. Tumazu, when the Mishnah says that the midwife touches the dead fetus inside the Rechem, she becomes Tumeya. It's only Midirabbanan. On the level of the Raisa, Rabbi is right. The Tumah Balu is Kemisha'ina, even though the hand is Balua and the Tumah is Balua, they're both Balua. Tumazu, Eina Midivrei Torah, Ela Midivrei Sofer. Fregi Gemara, why is it? What does that mean? What is he trying to emphasize here? Because one could have given a different answer. One could have said, whether there is such a din of Tumah Balua, it's not Metame. So you can say the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva, that Tumah Balua is Metame. And Rabbi is paskening like Rabbi Shmuel, that Tumah Balua is not Metame. So one could have said like that. So that's why he said not so. He says, Tumazu ain't a medivrei Torah. Don't tell me the Mishnah goes, I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva, whose opinion we don't accept over here. We pass like Rabbi Shmuel. We just said before, there's a case, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, by which is a higher level of Kedusha Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So there we pass like Rabbi Shmuel here also. My colleague said, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, he pass like Rabbi Shmuel, that Tumah Balua is not Matami. Rabbi Akiva says, not so. Akiva holds Tumah Balua is Matami. So the Gemara says, what did he mean by saying that Lashon Tumazu ain't a medivrei Torah, medivrei Seifim? What does he mean? The Leitema, don't think, don't say, Aliba de Rabbi Akiva. Don't tell me the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva Dama. Uba b'mei isha tame, a dead fetus inside the mother's body is metame. The Rabbi Akiva denies that there's a din of Tumah Balua. No! The Mishnah goes, Afilo halacha is like Rabbi Shmuel. El Afilo the Rabbi Shmuel, the Yama, his opinion is that's how we paskin. Uba b'mei isha tohor. That if the fetus inside the mother's body is dead, kolzman the fetus doesn't come out. It's Tumah Balua, it's not Metame. It's not Metame min HaTorah. But Midirabbanan, goes Rabba Tumah Midirabbanan. Midirabbanan said if the Meyaleta sticks her hand in, she is Tumah Midirabbanan. Why did they introduce a Tumah Midirabbanan? If min HaTorah is Tahar, it's Tahar. Zog di Gemara, and what's the reason? My time, what motivated the Chachamim to make such a din the Rabbanan? If it's not Metame min HaTorah, why they make a Chumah Midirabbanan? What's the din of Hotzi Rosho? When you have a baby, either a human baby is born or an animal is giving birth to a Vlad, so what is it called, Leda? So either Hotzi Rosho, either Rov Rosho. Normally, Rov Rosho up to here, up to here. The head, I think, starts to come out from this point, so if Hotzi Rov Rosho over here, that's already called Leda, because the rest of the rest will be smooth sailing. The rest is going to go easily. If it doesn't go smooth sailing, and later on they have to intervene, they have to do a surgery or something, then Rabbi Kivegi writes on Mishnai Saholos that we don't say Hotzi Rosho, it's called Leda. It's only if Hotzi Rosho, up until here, Rov HaRosh, and then the rest goes Kishura, and you didn't need any intervention. But if it turns out that it wasn't smooth sailing, then you don't say Hotzi Rosho, it's not called Yolet. Either Hotzi Rosho or Hotzi Rubai. Let's say it's the baby is coming out the other way, feet first. So if Rova of the baby came out, so that's called Leda. So the Gemara says sometimes the Mialedes, sometimes the baby will be Hotzi Rosho Chutz Leprozdor. See, by the human body, by the woman, the baby comes out Chutz Leprozdor, but there's still a canal over there. So the head didn't come out from the woman's body. The head of the baby is very tiny. So it's a Hechitim, so it's possible. It's Yotze Rosha outside of the cervix, but it's still covered up with the canal over there. So that's called, by Behemoth, you don't have like that. Hotzi Rosha right away, it's already Abe Hoylem, but by human beings it is like that. So sometimes it'll be Hotzi Rosha Chutz Leprozdor, and the Mialetis won't even realize it. So she thinks she stuck her hand in, and it's Tuma Blua, and it's really not Tuma Blua, it's already Hotzi Rosha, and they pull the head back in, and the baby is already Yolud. So it doesn't help that it's that is back inside. If it's Kiyola Dami, it's not called Tuma Blua. If it's Alpidin considered later, it's not called Tuma Blua. So that's why they made Xera de Rabban. So the Gemara, my time, why they make Xera? Because Xera Shemiyotzi Vlad Rosh Chutz Leprozdor. So therefore, the Mialetis won't realize it. So they said, under all circumstances, even if that's not what happened, even if the baby was not yet Hotzi Rosho, the din is that the Mialetis attached is still Tmeir. Fegmar Ihochi, if that's the concern, that maybe it was Hotzi Rosho and she didn't realize it. So the Mishnah says that the pregnant woman herself is not Tmeir until the baby comes out, the dead baby. The baby is not, there's no heartbeat. So if, when the baby comes out and it touches the mother's body on the outside of the mother's body, then it's a meses metame b'mago. Or if there's a ceiling on top, if there's a roof, it's a meses metame b'ohel. Fine. So Frank Digmar, if you made Xera de Rabbanim, because the concern that if you made Xera de Rabbanim, that the Mialetis sticks a hand in, maybe she becomes tummy with the Rabbanim, because maybe there's a chashash, maybe it was Hotzeroshi, she didn't realize it. So why do you say that the Mialetis herself is Tahira? That's what the Mishnah says on Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, what? Why don't you make Xer the Rabbanon? The Mialetis herself should be Tmeya. She may not realize that it's already Hotzi Rosha. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? The Mialetis is in pain. She knows when it's Hotzi Rosha. She knows whether yes or no Hotzi Rosha. If it would have been Hotzi Rosha, she would have felt a big push. The Mialetis always feels when the head is coming out. So Frek the Gemara, so why do you say, So why do you say the Oledis herself is Tahira? Because she would know whether it's Hotzi Rosha. So let her tell the Chaya. Why do you say that the Chaya who stuck in her hand inside the Beis HaRechem is Tamei Midirabona? Maybe it was on the Hotzi Rosha. Let the Oledis tell the midwife whether it was Hotzi Rosha or not. So the Gemara says the Oledis herself is in such pain and agony, she can't carry on a conversation. A lot of times they're screaming on top of their lungs. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're doing. So the Oledis herself, you don't say the Isha is Tmei or maybe it's Hotzi Rosha. Well, ask her. Well, the Isha said no. She didn't have that pain yet of Hotzi Rosha. But to carry on a conversation with the midwife to tell her that it's not Hotzi Rosha, we say the woman who's giving birth is probably going to be so tarud. Let the Oledis tell the Chaya, the midwife, that it wasn't yet Hotzi Rosha. Have the Gemara treat her. She's torah, she's all tzedrek, she's all in pain and agony. So we can't rely on the Yoledes, on the woman giving birth, to tell the other. So that's a din mederabbanan. So we threw in the middle that there is a machlokes Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel. We knew this from a long time ago, because Rashi quoted this in the beginning of the whole sugya, Ayin Amud Beis, on the top. Rashi said about Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel. Yeah, so the Gemara says, my Rabbi Kiva, my Rabbi Shmuel, what is that machlokes that we were alluding to? Where is the source? We just said, you shouldn't say it, so I'll leave it to Rabbi Kiva, who doesn't believe in Tuma Blua, that is Kimishen. So the Gemara says, my Rabbi Shmuel, my Rabbi Kiva, what's that machlokes you were alluding to? The Tanya. You have a pasuk, kol ha-she'igal p'nei ha-sodeh, if you touch a mace. You see, if you're inside a house, you don't even have to touch the mace. You're in the same oil as the mace, so the oil is maybe a satuma. If it's al pnei hasoda, there is no ceiling, so kol hashiiga. If you touch the dead body that's laying on the ground, then the mace is metame b'maga. And if you're in a house, the mace is metame b'oil. So the fact that the pasuk gives such a mashal, hanegeh b'mace, how does it say? Kol hashiiga al pnei hasoda. You touch a mace in an open location. The dead body is laying on top of the field. So it sounds like only begolui. Lehoitzi uba b'mei isha di Rabbi Shmuel. If the dead fetus is inside the rechem of its mother, it wasn't yet yotza rosho, wasn't yet yalud, so then the mashmaz of the pasuk is that the tuma belua is not metame. Tuma blue is not metame. So what they need the other pasuk for? Well, they quoted the pasuk before, but swallowing, that's what Taisa doesn't understand. They have this pasuk over here, the tuma blue is not betami. But they have the pasuk of the fellow swallowed the kezayis min anavela, and then he goes to the mikveh, and it's still in his stomach. Okay, it's a good question. Why do you need so many psul? So Rabbi Shmuel has a mocker from a pasuk. Kol hashiiga al pnei hasoda, only if the mace is in an open location, the hotzi ubet meisha. If the Uber, the dead fetus, is still inside the mother's rechem, so then Rabbi Shmuel holds that Tumah Blua is not Matame. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. He says, no, Al Panei Asodah doesn't mean you're touching the dead body that's Bikoli. Even if you stick your hand inside the rechem, Tumah Blua is Matame. What does it mean, Al Panei Asodah? If you bury a mace, not only if you touch the mace, are you Tame, if you touch the girl of the Doifik, in connection with the mace, also Tame. The rabbi's girl of a doifik. Rabbi Kiva claims that's a pasuk. Rabbi Kiva claims that pasuk, v'choloshig al pnei asada, something begolui, doesn't go on touching a mace. Begolui as opposed to touching a mace that's mechusa, a mace that's the base of balua. But it's the rabbi's girl of a doifik. What is girl of a doifik? This Tosfos says, we wrote about it in Ksubas. That's a famous machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos, and a few mesichtes, quite a few mesichtes. Rashi says, the girl of the are the boards on the side of the coffin, and the doifik is on the lid on top of the coffin. The Tosfos disagrees that that's not what Golov Doifik means. They bring a lot of rayas. The Tosfos, Golov Doifik means the matseva, or the stones that are on the side of the matseva to hold it up. That's Golov Doifik. What's the significance as far as we're concerned? Halacha lemaisa. So the Gemara says that the Shiva begins after Stimas HaGolov. So what does that mean? When the Shiva begins? So Rashi says, once you put the corpse in a coffin, and you cover over the coffin, even though you didn't bury the mace yet. So Rashi holds that the Shiva begins right away. And we don't follow Rashi, we follow the Rabbi Netan. The Golov Doifik means we finished the whole Gemar HaKvura, not you put him in a coffin. You didn't Mekayim Kvura yet. Kvura has to be Kvura B'Karka. If you leave the coffin on top of the ground, you didn't bury in the ground, you didn't do Kvura. So you have to lower it either in a coffin or not in a coffin. It's called the Kvura with or without a coffin. You have to bury the mace, you have to throw offer on top, minimum of 3 tvachim of offer. A lot of times, our Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, a lot of times it's swampy in the base of Kvoris. So you don't want to bury the person 6 feet under, it's going to be sloshing there in mud. So you want to only bury the bodies as high up as possible. So how high up is acceptable? How much offer do you have to put on top of the coffin that it should be considered kvur bekarka? 2 inches of offer just to throw a little sand? Moshe has arrived from the Shulchan Aruch, from the Gemara, that you need 3 tvachim. A minimum of 3. Usually they have it much lower than 3 tvachim. He says, if it's swampy, you don't want to lower it so low. So he says, you need at least 3 tvachim on top. So Rabbi Natam learns that the Shiva begins after the Stimas HaGel, means after the Gemar HaKvura, you already buried the mace, and you put at least 3 tvachim of offer. And if it's very deep, 6 feet under, you have to put all the offer. Whatever you're going to do that day, you have to wait till the Gemara HaKfura. So Bizman HaGemara was a common practice. They put the Matzeva on the same day. So till you put the Matzeva, until you put the stones holding up the Matzeva, you still didn't finish the Kvura. Tosfos says, if our practice today is that we don't put the Matzeva the same day, but we fill in the whole cavity today, a lot of times the Avelim already want to go home. So they throw in 3 tvachim of offer, then they go home. So it's not yet Gemara HaKfura. Gemara HaKfura is when you finish everything you're going to do today. So we're going to fill up the whole cavity on top of the coffin. So that's the Gemar HaKvura. So from the Shiva begins from Stimas HaGadol after the Gemar HaKvura. That's how the Rabbi Natam learns. So that's a machlokes. What do the words Gadol B'Doifik mean? Yeah. So Tosfos says Bizman Hazeh that we don't put a matzeva.
And they didn't bury the mace until Chol HaMoed. And they told the Balaam to sit the half an hour at the funeral parlor, and that was the end of Shiva.
No, that's not right.
I just read about it here.
The Shiva doesn't begin till
they should have sat after Yantif.
After Yantif, yeah, sure. You have to have Gemar HaKvura. That's what Rabbi Natan says, Gemar HaKvura. The Shaila is, what if they're going to take, let's say, someone dies here, and then they're going to take the mace to Eretz Yisrael. So the days of Gemara would take months till they get to Eretz Yisrael. So how am I going to know, how's the person here going to know when the Gemara HaKvur is? So the Gemara says, if he was metapel in the Levi a little bit, and then he goes to the highway, then when they're going to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to a different location to bury the mace, and the Avelim, that's all they're going to do. So that's called the Gemar, you can't say Gemar HaKvura, Gemar HaHisaskus in the mace. If you leave over the body, you're not going to bury him until the Chol HaMoed, so you didn't do the Gemar HaHisaskus yet on Erev Yantar. So you can't say Shiva. But if all you're going to do, you're going to walk with the, they put on Tachrichim, and they did the tar, they washed the mace, and they put him in an Oren, and then they're going to send off the Aron to a distant location, Teretz Yisrael, at the Kever Abbas, wherever it's going to be. So that's the Gemara HaHisaskus, and the Gvura is Mimchadar Apayim Ve'avula, when the Avelim go back home, and the Mesa is going to go Vaita. That's a Shaila. What if they call someone up on the phone from Eretz Yisrael, and they tell him a relative died, and the Kvur is going to be tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in the morning. So the relatives in America are not going to go to the Kvur. So when does the Shiva begin? So that was a big machlokes between the Netziv and his son-in-law, Rabbi Frol Shapiro. So the Netziv was of the opinion that the Shiva doesn't begin until after the Kvur, because you didn't do any Hisaskos on the Kvur. They called him up from Eretz Yisrael that someone died, he didn't lift a finger. So he didn't do any hisaskas. So his shiva doesn't begin until after the kvur in Eretz. He's not there. He has to wait till he knows. I have to call him after the kvur. Tell him that they finished the kvur. And the Rabbi Foyle, the son-in-law, Rabbi Foyle Shapiro was the son-in-law of the Netziv, and his son-in-law was Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik. So Rabbi Foyle disagreed, and his opinion was, if you're not going to go to the kvur, so when they notify you that the person died, so you have to observe the shiva right away. So before the war, in Europe, most of the Paschim held like the Netziv, that the Shiva doesn't begin until after the Kvura. Somehow after the war, all the Rabbanim, Big Tamir Chama, wrote Shulas, Moshe Feinstein, and many others, the majority opinion now is not like the Netziv. The majority is like right before, that if they notify the person that someone died, so they begin Shiva right away. Like the Gemara has a din, let's say a person drowned and they're looking for the body, they're looking, they can't find it, but they know for sure that he's dead. Someone shot him and he fell into the water, and we know for sure that he's dead, but we can't find the body. So the Gemara has a din, nisyashu milakavra, if they gave up hope of having, or let's say the goyim murdered someone and they took the body with them and they're not releasing it. So we're negotiating with the goyim, with the government, whatever, trying to negotiate to bribe the gangsters that they should release the body. Negotiate, we give up hope. So on this Yashim Elikavra, I said, then you start Shiva right away. If there isn't going to be, you don't see in the foreseeable future, you don't see that there is going to be any Kvura. So the same thing if they call one up on the phone, they tell them a relative died in a distant country and the Kvura is going to be tomorrow. So the accepted opinion today is that the one begins Shiva right away.
Oh,
Soloveitchik said that his father had a Mechudish Dikapsak, he can't say this over, he can't follow this. He said, it's Machlekes Rabbi Foyle and the Netziv, where they begin Shiva right away, begin tomorrow. So he said, in Avelis, you always go the Kula, so you don't have to begin the Avelis till tomorrow, like the Netziv. But then you count the Shiva as if you started from today. You go the Hokkal and Avelis, even though it's a Tartar Sasri. It's a Beferish Ramban in the beginning of Ksubas. Something the Rabbanu Lekula, but you can't be Mekal a Tartar Sasri. But in Avelis, there's a Ramban, that you even go on the Hakel Tartar Sas. Ramban says that's what we do all the time. Let's say someone dies in the middle of Yantav HaChalamoyed. So you bury Ayidei Amimim, on the first day Yantav, you bury Ayidei Nochrim, second day Yantav, bury Ayidei Yisrael, Chalamoyed, you bury Ayidei Yisrael, but you don't begin the Shiva until after Yantav. So in Chutz Loretz, the last day Yantav counts as the first day of Shiva, even though you don't observe it. So you don't begin Shiva till Isru Chag. And you end the Shiva as if you started on the last day of Pesach. Why? Because the last day of Pesach is a Sveika de Yoma. We treat it as if it were a Sveika de Yoma. So you go the Hakel in both directions. You start the Avelis later and you end earlier. So Moshe Soloveitchik said, you can't paskin like this. So Moshe Soloveitchik said, if they called up from Eretz Yisrael that someone died, the Kfur is going to be tomorrow. So you go the Hakel in both directions. You don't begin the Shiva till tomorrow and then you end the Shiva as if you started from today. No, no.
That's the din in the Gemara.
Let's say it says in the Shulchan Aruch that's only if you're going to bury him in a faraway location. That's if you're going to bury him in the outskirts in the Beis HaKfaris, 20 minutes away from the city. So there the din doesn't apply. You don't say the Ovel is not going to go. He's not going to go to the cemetery, so he should begin. Let's say it's getting late, and the Kvur is going to take place by Laila, and they want today to count as the first day. So that says in the Shulchan Aruch, this din only applies, it's going to be in a distant location they're going to bury. But it's going to be on the outskirts of the city, the din doesn't apply. Why? Because that's not called the Gemara Hisaskus in the Kvura, because the Abba can always change his mind and take a taxi and follow them and go to the cemetery. But when the plane is taken off, he's not going to take the next plane. He can't just make an arrangement to take the next plane. If it's a distant location, far off location, then we say that they mechiba hadar apayim ve'avula, when they bid farewell and they go with the arm. So the Gemara says, Nisyashim elakavra. Yeah, if you don't know how long it's going to take, it's indefinite. So then I think they asked Rav Soloveitchik. So I said at that time, if you don't know how long it's going to take, then they start shiva right away. That's like Nisyashim elakavra. But usually, they are negotiating. Usually, it's a rare case like that. So Nachman said, "There's a machlekes Rabbi Kiva Ishmo. What do you learn out from the pasuk al pnei asada? If you touch a mace al pnei asada, so Rabbi Ishmo says, means the mace shouldn't be balua. If the mace is inside an uber inside, that's not metame. Rabbi Kiva says al pnei asada means a different thing. If you touch the girl of the dafik, Rashi learns there's a coffin sitting on top of the ground. If you touch the walls or the lid of the coffin, you're tame. And Taisus the Rabbi Tam learns no, you touch the matzeva on top." Means if he's touching the matzeva, he's walking on top of the mace, so the mace is metame ba'oil. Means he's standing on the side, and he's touching the matzeva, touching the coffin, without walking directly above the mace. That's oil. The three kinds of oil. Oh, one kind of oil, I lean on top of the mace. One is that I'm sitting outside, and they carry a mace right above me. And the third one is what we call oil amshacha. I'm over here, and the mace over there, and we're both under the same roof. So if I'm leaning over the mace, so that's already the mace's metame ba'oil. So we're talking, he's touching the lid of the coffin, or he's touching the matzeva without standing on top of the mace. Freg de Gemara, and according to Rabbi Shmuel, how does he know there's a din of goyel of the doifek? If he uses that phrase, al pnei asada, to teach me the din that tuma blua is not metame, he says hilchas agmei v'lo. That's halacha l'moshe misina. You have like this in the Gemara, the last daf in Nido. Gemara says, Yud Alef Yom Shebet Nida LeNida, when a woman can become a Zava, according to Rabbi Kiva, licked this in the Verta and the Chumash. And according to Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, it's Halacha L'Moshe Messina. There were dinim that all the Tanaim agreed to, and most of the Tanaim said, that's Halacha L'Moshe Messina. Rabbi Kiva insisted, no. He had a weapon, he could figure out more by reading in between the lines of the Chumash. Master Rabbi Kiva Darshan on all the Tagim, Tilim Shel Halachas, things that we don't accept his opinion. We don't even have one drasha based on Tagim and the Gemara. So dinim that Rabbi Kiva read based on his drashas of Tagim, the other Tanaim agreed to the din, but he says Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. So that's what the Gemara says here. Frag the Gemara, and how does Rabbi Shmuel know? Rabbi Kiva Ubed Meima Tomei Mideraisa Minoli. Okay, Rabbi Kiva doesn't use the pasuk Al Pnei Asada to teach me that the mace is on a mitame when it's an exposed position. He holds Al Pnei Asada refers to the matzeva, the girl of a doifek. Does he have a pasuk that tells us though that even the uber mace inside the mother's body is also mitame? He doesn't have a pasuk to say that it's not mitame. Rabbi Shmuel has a pasuk al pnei asada, only if it's begoli. Does Rabbi Kiva have a pasuk to say even if it's mechusa, it's also metame? Rabbi Kiva ubed meisha tame mederais. Is there a pasuk? I'm Rabbi Oshia. Yeah, there's a pasuk. Hanegev the meis bin nefesh adam. If you touch a dead body, that's inside a living person. that's not pasuk pshat in the pasuk. Again, the mace, but nefesh adam means you can have a mace, an avela, an animal died, you can have a chicken died, you can have a human being died. So the pasuk says, how to give the mace, but nefesh adam, it told me 7 days. If you touch a dead human body, it told me for 7 days. So Rabbi Kiva Darshan said, how to give the mace, bin nefesh. Ezel meisha bin nefesh, aladam haviyoim ezel ubesha bin meisha. So that's a double machlekes, Rabbi Kiva and Bishma, whether tuma blua, a mace that's blua inside the rechem is metame or not. And the other machlekes says, how do you know the institution of the girl of a dafik? They both agree, they both subscribe to the girl of a dafik then. Rabbi Shmuel holds that as halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Rabbi Kiva says, no, that's a licht in the vet, that's al pnei asada. So then the Gemara says, what does Rabbi Shmuel do with the phrase, and give the mace b'nefeshot? Was going to say, no, that's Rabbi Shmuel has a different interpretation, Rabbi Kiva has a different pasuk. So believe that, we'll have to save that for next week. Interesting reading. We have have in this week's Sedra in Parshas Kedesh, we have a lot of dinim, Bein Adam Lamakans, Bein Adam Chaver, everything blended in together. So one of the many dinim is, L'Solim Pul HaSochir Itcha Ad Boiker. If you had an employee who worked for you, you have a babysitter, you have a painter who did a job, you have an automobile mechanic, he fixed the car, whenever you have someone, an employee, so you have to pay B'yom HaTit Nischar, you have to pay on the same day. This din B'yom HaTit Nischar only applies to Schiras Perlin. If you buy merchandise, you don't have to pay. It's understood you have 30 days. You are mazik someone, you're chayvel someone, you have to pay. It's understood you have 30 days. Man bezna. If you have alvos, tam alvos shloshim yom, you always have time to pay. You can't wait forever to pay, but within reason. A special din by schiras perlin. Then Tosis points out, Tosis quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, Gimel dinim heim. Roga Rabbeinu Tam, loyma gimel dinim heim. Tosis in Bava Kam, Tosis in Ksubis. And Bava Basra, Rabbeinu Tam holds there are the three dinim, that if you're mazik somebody, all the 24 avos and zikin, the Gemara says the chavtal of avos and zikin. So if you want to pay with karka, you have to give meitav sadeh, meitav kamisham, you have to give idis. If you want to pay cash, that's fine. If you want to pay with metaltalim, so any junk that you have is considered meitav. Why? Karka can't move. So if the karka is pashtekt somewhere, and it's beinanus or ziburis, then it's not idis. But metaltalim, eloi mizdabin hach, mizdabin mamas achrita, if you can't sell it here, no one's interested in these old books and these old clothes, these shmatas. You can always take the shmatas to Africa and sell it over there. People sell used clothing. They take it from America and sell it in Africa. They make a lot of money.
Yeah, eBay.
Huh? Yeah. Sell it on eBay. Okay. So the Gemara says that you can either pay karka, then you have to, by the all the 24 hours, you can either pay karka, then it has to be made up. If you want to pay metaltalim, all metaltalim has the status of made up. If you want, you can pay cash, equally acceptable. And then the Rabbeinu Tam says, if you have schiras poyalim, you have to pay dafke cash. You're not allowed to pay with shavi kesef. And he quotes enough in the Gemara like that. A guy did work for me a whole day long, and I agreed. He painted my house. I agreed to pay him $7,000, whatever, painting the house. And then I say, have no cash. Take all the svarim you want. I have an old bookcase and old furniture. Take old clothing. Take $7,000 worth. So you can tell me, you go sell it and you give me cash. You're mechuyev to pay me cash. A special din only by schiras poyalim. By the others, you don't have. There are special halachas that only apply. And the pasuk says the reason why, because in Dvarim it says, Elov hu nosei es nafsho. The guy went out and he put his, sometimes workers put their lives in danger in order to do work. They chop down trees and so on. They do dangerous things. So that's why the Torah went out of its way to make special dinim and he gave it to schiras poyalim. So it's interesting, most of the Rishayim assume a Chiddush Din. The two types of Chiyuv Imam, there's a Hischaivis Midas, a person accepts upon himself that he's going to pay an amount of money. Then there's a Chiyuv that's called Milba HaKsuba BaTorah. The Torah imposes a Chiyuv upon me. So what's the status of Schiras Perlim? So the Poshib Shat is, I hire a worker, and out of the goodness of my heart, I agree to pay him so much salary. I determine how much the salary is going to be. So basically, I'm a nice guy. I accepted upon myself to pay him. So most of the Rishonim say it's not so. You don't have to pay him unless you hired him. But once you hired him, the Torah imposes upon you a chiyuv to pay. It's a milvah ksuva b'Torah. And sometimes the Gemara has an asecha sapoilim. Sometimes you have to pay more than you thought you're going to have to pay. If you sent a shliach, and the going rate is so much, and you told the shliach, get me someone to do the work for less, then the shliach never told that to the poil. So the Gemara says the boss has to pay, even though he thought he's going to have to get away. He thought he's going to get away with less. So the Gemara says the chiyuv mamon by schiras poyalim is imposed by the Torah. It's not considered out of the goodness of his heart. The boss is agreeing to pay the salary to the worker, not on the goodness of his heart. The Torah imposes a chiyuv on the boss to pay. He has to treat the workers as if they're human beings. You have to treat them nicely. You go out of your way. You have to pay b'yom hatit nischar. You have to pay dafke kesh. Torah has the balabos here in America. It was Yadua. They used to have factories and they would fire people just at will and they wouldn't pay the salary. The halach is about that. It's not so easy. That's all included in today's Sedra and the special dinam of Schiras Poyalim. Okay.
Check. Is it cash? Check.
It has to be something that they can use right away.
Check
today is also good. Yeah, today, if you're paying cash, means they're not going to pay taxes on it. It's not right to pay in cash.
Rabbi Federbush wrote a pamphlet on Jewish labor law. So he first wrote the first labor law in the world was Shabbos. The world worked 7 days before Shabbos. First labor law. Let me mention all the others.
He was a Mizrahi leader, Freda Bush.
Yeah, he was the principal when I went to Yeshiva Ramanda.